The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.
Hello, this is the penultimate episode of the year of the Offside Rule, We Get It podcast, brought to you by Continental Tires, getting you to the game safely. And it's double trouble, myself and...
Hayley McQueen. Hi there, everyone. Yeah, Kate Borsay is just living it up, enjoying life, getting ready for Christmas. So Lindsay and I thought we'd have a little Christmas party of our own and bring you a cracker of a podcast. Bada boom, there's a joke in there somewhere, isn't there?
There is a joke in there. We'll come to those. By the way, I must point out that at this moment, the reality is I think Kate Borsay is outside Stamford Bridge in the cold. It's raining. And she's been working on stories to do with Chelsea, which hasn't been difficult this last 7 days.
Flipping heck, what's happening? I'm on Sky Sports News, reading all the stats out, just sitting there thinking, what on earth has gone wrong? Normally you kind of read a few stats out, take note of it and move on. But I genuinely today sat down thinking, I just did not expect them to lose to Leicester. I didn't expect them to be where they were. I didn't expect Mourinho to be blaming things on the ball boys. I didn't expect Costa to be doing what he did and criticising his team players. Like, who knows what's gone wrong? But goodness me, it's making for a very exciting Premier League, that's for sure.
We actually dedicated most of the podcast last week to Chelsea with Ali Bender being a Chelsea fan. So we're not going to dwell on that too much. But what I will say, and it's interesting because loads of people have been saying, are Leicester realistically title contenders? But with Chelsea 1 point above relegation, are Chelsea realistically relegation contenders?
I think you've got to say yes to both. Yes to Chelsea. And yes to Leicester, why the hell not? Realistically, you sit and think, okay, top four, the position that they're in right now, if they can keep that up, even if they obviously start to drop points, still up there in the top four. Chelsea, I do think they're going to get themselves out of trouble, but you can't write off either scenario. And they're two scenarios which you just could not have predicted at the beginning of the season. And I'm dying to find out if anybody put money on Leicester winning the Premier League, just as a joke, even 50p would have got you back... thousands, if not tens of thousands, who knows?
Someone must have done it somewhere. Hayley's alluded to it already. We're going to keep with the Christmas theme. And you love a Christmas cracker joke.
Oh, I love a bad joke. I love a cheese joke. My joke is that I love cheesy jokes. I've got a list of cheese jokes. They're really awful. They're so awful. They're so bad, they're good. You know those kind of jokes?
Yeah.
So we figured some of you out there, like myself... I like to put my own jokes in crackers. I like to make my own crackers sometimes, personalise them, put scratch cards in there. I don't get involved with the cooking because I'm absolutely hopeless and my mum can just look after all of that. But we've got 12 round for Christmas dinner this year, including a couple of kids. So I'm going to make crackers. I won't be putting these jokes in them, but we're going to give you a few ideas as to football-related kind of nonsense that you can put in your crackers if you want to.
Mine are definitely nonsense and they're stolen. Have you made some of yours up?
I've made two up, but the rest...
we'll have to copyright those.
Yeah, absolutely stolen. Or I've amended some as well to suit the situation.
Fair dudes, fair dudes. The other thing that's happening this weekend coming is it's Sports Personality of the Year. And because we're a completely football podcast, I just thought, hey, if it was just football, who would we have on our shortlist? So you get six.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And I kind of haven't picked six individuals. I could have gone for managers or players, Championship, Premier League, lower down, Europe. I've kind of gone for some random ones, like a club who are doing great things behind the scenes or somebody that's done something that's grabbed the attention on social media. Because I figured we might double up, as we always do, because, Lindsay, great minds think alike.
They do. I'll try not to tread on your toes in that department. I've put a few extras just in case. But we're going to start by talking about being money motivated in football. And the reason we're doing this is I did something really cool over the weekend. I made a debut on Fighting Talk.
You did?
Yeah. Was that last? And of course I did.
Oh, I thought we were talking about money here. And you're, is that what you did? You did it for the money. You didn't do it because you loved the show and you wanted to be up there. You were just like, just bring me the money.
Show me the money. Let me join the dots and tick the crosses. What happened was, as part of the Fighting Talk episode on Saturday, one of the topics was to do with money motivated people in sport. So I thought, in homage to me being on Fighting Talk, and because I'm feeling a bit lazy because it's Christmas, I thought I'd just steal one of their topics and get us to discuss it. So what I have made myself work a bit harder by making it two examples each. So hopefully that helps.
Follow us on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod and like our page on Facebook. Simply type in the Offside Rule, We Get It. There's only one of us.
Now, before we get into the small matter of money-motivated footballers, which is our topic one, inspired by Fighting Talk, thank you to the BBC for letting us poach that one. We're also giving them a plug as well, because their podcast is out if you do want to listen to the debut performance where I came last, rather than joint last. That was my aim. But I wanted to see how you were, because the last time we spoke, you were a year younger. You've had a birthday in between.
I'm so old. It's disgusting. And I've got braces as well. So I'm like, I'm lisping all over the place. If I say Harry Wednap, it's Harry Wednap.
Give me a big grin there. You actually can't see them at all.
You can't. They look good. They just sound ridiculous and they feel really uncomfortable. But I'm in the quest for perfection. I'm going to start with my teeth. I'll work on everything else as it all starts to go downhill, as the birthdays sort of come and go.
Oh my gosh, I've given up on that game straight away. Well, let's talk about money-motivated footballers who could afford to put anything right just because of the pay packet at the end of the week. I think there's so many examples, actually, when you look up and down sport, but we're keeping this football focused, and it was a topic that was set on Fighting Talk over the weekend. So what do you think, in terms of springing to mind, the person that you think, yeah, they were in it for the money?
Well, you've got like people who were nicknamed Ashley Cole, Cashley Cole, as you know, but also I've looked at something quite recent. And Javier Mascherano, he has a money-motivated agent, the whole third-party ownership nonsense from West Ham. And he's made the big move, obviously, to Liverpool. He's now at Barcelona. But for a player who earns hundreds of thousands of pounds a week, why doesn't he pay his tax bills? Mm. He's just been done, hasn't he? So Mascherano has been involved in this big, big fraud story. It reached its conclusion just very recently, and forced to pay a huge fine after pleading guilty to the tax indiscretions, we should say, earlier this year. He'd been working for Nike, and it was avoiding payment on image rights from Nike. And it was all to do with the company Madeira in Portugal. Very complicated. I won't bother getting into the legal side of things. But it meant that he could avoid paying tax between 2011 and 2012. Now, for somebody who's earning hundreds of thousands, whose net worth was apparently 40 million just a few seasons ago, why would you try and avoid paying tax? Surely you just be good and honourable and pay taxes. It's not like you, me or you, Lindsay, where you few hundred quid you get from your freelance work, you could just slide into your bank balance and it would make a big difference and you'd be able to get Uber instead of getting on the bus, if you know what I mean. But Mascherano, and he has been money motivated in the past, as we know. And I just think it's a real shame. So he's had to pay 815,000 euros in a fine. He's paid back 1.5 million euros. That's what he owed in tax. Why didn't pay it in the first place? Who knows? He obviously pays tax on his earnings. He knows how to go about doing that. He probably has an amazing accountant. Well, he's got an amazing legal team as well, because he could have been jailed for this. A lot of people have been for a very similar crime. Judge accepted this agreement that he made and basically declared the case closed. But it really bothers me. You've got the situation with Messi and his dad at the moment as well, don't you? And the kind of legal issues are ongoing with that and avoiding paying tax. When you're a millionaire, just why? Why try and get away with it?
You can only spend so much money as well. What do you want it for? What do you want it for? I'd be really happy if I had a payout of like a million in the lottery or something. That would be plenty.
Well, I would do a job for Nike, provided they gave me free sportswear for the rest of my life. Like, that would make me happy. Trainers. I'd be wearing Nikes on a night out in London, Lindsay, if that were the case.
It's good to know. I'm sure they're taking notice. And both of my examples come from Spurs. So that might explain why Spurs haven't super excelled in recent seasons, because the players that they're taking on their books don't care enough. One of the most famous examples being Benoit Assou-Ekotto, who in an interview said, "I do it for the money." And this interview, I actually went back to it. It was done with The Guardian some time ago. But in the quotes that he said, "Look, I go to England for the money, but what do players come to this club for? Because they look nice? No. All people, everyone, when they go to a job, it's for the money. So I don't understand why, when I said that I play for the money, people were shocked. Oh, he's a mercenary. Every player is like that," he says. I do believe there are exceptions to that rule, but I do think we're getting more and more players that are coming to the Premier League because of the big payout. Another example, a more recent one, Emmanuel Adebayor. This is the one that I gave on Fighting Talk, but the fact that he wouldn't even leave last summer when he had interest from other clubs because he wanted to wait for the payout. He'd rather play with a youth team and not touch a football, not play competitive football for a while in order to get 2.5 million minimum. He wanted 5 million payout rather than go to another club. And I think, well, that's when it becomes a real shame, when actually the thing that you're good at, you put into one side over the fact of having a paycheck, when actually you get paid enough to get by anyway.
They'll just look back and regret that one day when they get to a certain age. I'll look and think, why didn't I just play for the love of playing? There are things you can do in later life. Invest wisely at the moment to make sure that you've got money. Similar situation with Benny McCarthy, who's one of mine, who Karen Brady called a big fat mistake that cost the club 5 million and was more devoted to filling his belly than filling the net. So he was obviously at Blackburn Rovers, doing great there. And we all know that once you're playing and scoring goals at a club like that, you want to move up and take that step. Well, he moved to West Ham, but in two seasons, he made just 14 appearances, didn't score a single goal. After that, he refused £1 million payoff in order for him to earn £2.7 million left on his £38,000 a week contract. They were like, look, we will pay you off this to take you off our books. You can go somewhere, drop down a little, play football. We don't have to pay you. You get to play. You get to score goals and have a bit of a career back. But no, he stayed and didn't care that he wasn't appearing. He just wanted his money. He finally, the following year, accepted £1.5 million to end what can only be described as a bit of a nightmare playing for West Ham. But yeah, just pure greed. And there are lots of other stories like that. I could give you so many examples. And I'm sure some people, there are different reasons. And there are players who go to clubs and they don't expect not to be doing well. And they go out on loan elsewhere. And they try and, you know, pick back up to rediscover the form from a previous club. And we know you can be a little unlucky, but when there's just pure greed, it can be very obvious to people like you and me, Linz.
Breaking news, everyone. Stand by your beds. This is Jim White. You can download the Offside Rule podcast this very day.
So you've got double trouble this week. It's Lindsay and Hayley. No Kate Borsay. Reminder that you can follow us at Offside Rule Pod on Twitter. Just before we dive into topic two, what do you think about Sports Personality of the Year? Are you a big fan? Do you watch every year? Because I must admit, it used to be my favourite show of the year.
Yeah, I do love it. I do love it. I didn't watch it the other year. I can't remember why. There was something else going on. I was probably at a Christmas party, to be honest. I don't know who's going to win this year. What do we reckon? Andy Murray, or is he not quite being good enough?
Because it feels like the country's finally taken him into their hearts. But I think Lewis Hamilton surely would deserve to be up there with what he's achieved. Yeah. I know that there's arguments about the sport, but...
I get that. I totally get that. There are never many footballers up there, are there? But yeah, Lewis, for what he's achieved, absolutely. He just bothers me. I hear from the guys at Formula One, he's actually supposed to be a nice guy. Always stops for interviews and is very polite. I just don't like the fact that he thinks he's a rap star. I don't like what he wears. I just think he just is a bit too big for his boots. He went out partying, didn't he, towards the end of the season and caused him a few issues. And he didn't quite finish on the high that he should have finished and was a little bit naughty, just living the party lifestyle. Well, you can do that out of season. You can do that when you know, your career is coming towards an end, but not in the best season of your life, going out there and just kind of letting go. And the disrespect between him and his teammate, I know they're both equally kind of guilty of not paying each other that respect, but it's just a shame that you can't be humble with it. And whilst Andy Murray is definitely a bit more humble, he's so bloody grumpy. It's Sports Personality of the Year. I think it's actually not named properly. It should just be Sports Person of the Year. Definitely more women should be popping up in there. But
well, let's give a mention.
I mean, come on, Michael Owen's won it, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, Jessica Ennis-Hill this time. I mean, to have had a baby, come back and then be world champion.
Actually, I think she's mine to potentially win it. Andy Murray sprung to mind. I mean, Rory McIlroy, European Golfer of the Year. Lewis Hamilton had a great season. There are arguments for all of them, of course. And I love watching it. I love the glitz and glamour of it all. And I think it's a really well put on production. And it's great to end the year and highlight all the sporting achievements. But there's just not enough football in there.
Well, we're going to change that. We're going to make it completely footballer. 1 to 12, our shortlist is just going to be completely made up of footballing people. You can start us off. So who are we going to be awarding a nod to?
OK, first of all, I mean, Leicester City. Do you award the club? Do you award Ranieri? Do you award Vardy? Mahrez, well, all of them, just as a whole, Leicester City for providing a surprise and providing all the goals that have come courtesy of Vardy and Mahrez and the assists and just the pure brilliance. And yeah, just for causing that, I was going to say a bit of an upset. A massive upset.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that incorporates quite a few that could have been on our shortlist. I'm going to jump in straight away and say Gareth Bale. He's on, and maybe he should be on the main sports personality shortlist as well because of what Wales have achieved. What a 12 months it's been for them to be at the European Championships in the summer, for him to be one of the players. I know that it's a team sport, but he pretty much single-handedly has tried to drag them through. He couldn't do it without the rest of his teammates, of course, but I think without Gareth Bale, Wales would be a lot weaker, wouldn't they?
Well, I've got Chris Coleman. So there we go. I'll link that in. Chris Coleman being Welsh, guiding his national side to a major tournament. I was gutted that Wales drew England in the group. I would have loved to have kept England and Wales apart, or just Wales, England and anybody else involved apart. Still slightly heartbroken that Scotland haven't made it, but delighted for Wales, delighted for everything that Coleman's achieved. I think he really deserves it. He put his heart, his everything into it. And there was a time, not long into his tenure there, that it looked like he was kind of possibly leaving, wasn't it, at one stage, and they looked a little bit kind of delicate. And then of course Gareth Bale was there to help him out, as were the rest of the team. So yeah, big up to Chris Coleman for having a great 2015.
I'm going to jump in with Olivier Giroud, because I think it is quite an achievement to score a hat-trick in a Champions League match. So just for his efforts last week, I'm going to say that he deserves to be on the shortlist to get those three goals. And also because Arsenal were going out, without those goals, they wouldn't be in the Champions League. So a little nod to Olivier Giroud.
Well, from one good-looking player to another stunner. And you mentioned scoring hat-tricks. Well, Cristiano Ronaldo has done that. Not only is he talented on the pitch, but he's a great personality off it. And he's on my list for darling of the social media. He has the most Instagram followers, 40 million. That's three times as many as the whole club. Yeah. Only twice as many as me. As for Real Madrid on Twitter, they have 17.7 million followers. Man United are actually 6.5. They joined Twitter quite late on at stage. But Cristiano Ronaldo, he gets 1.5 million likes for posting a picture of himself working out in the gym, or just simply playing football, or eating his lunch, or having a selfie. It is unbelievable. But he's right up there with 40 million followers on Instagram, even more on Twitter. Neymar comes just behind. He's ahead of Messi. I thought Messi might come second. You've got James Rodriguez and Gareth Bale, you mentioned, obviously, as one of your players up there. So he is number five. The top 10 of follow players on Instagram are all Real Madrid and Barcelona. So there we go. Cristiano Ronaldo leading the way, unsurprisingly, you'd have to think, in terms of social media.
And is that an argument that La Liga is bigger than the Premier League? Maybe. I'm going to throw in, who knows what 2016 has in store for him, but I'm going to throw in Gary Neville for services to punditry. Oh, yes. Because what a year it's been. I've really enjoyed my Monday night football because of Gary Neville. So he goes in there. What happens at Valencia remains to be seen. But I think for everything else that he's done, and also for the achievements of Salford City in the FA Cup, let's go with that as well. So Gary Neville.
Okay, I'm going with Hibs. They do this thing called random act of kindness. And then they ask for the fans of their club or other clubs to get involved with the random act of kindness. They will tweet the kindness, Hibs will retweet them. So if you're a massive, if you're a Hibby and you just want a shout out from your official club on Twitter, you can do something great that helps somebody else and gives you a little bit of boost as well. This week, a woman called Leanne Dempster received £50 from an anonymous fan to buy half a season ticket. There you go. So yeah, this season, Leanne Dempster, who was tweeted on the Hibs website, received £50 from a fan who'd written into the club to say, could you please give this to one of your fans who might be less fortunate than myself, who can buy my whole family season tickets, to give them a season ticket. So the 50 quid went towards buying half a season ticket to go and watch Hibs. There you go.
My next one is going to be a manager. I don't think I can ignore Jurgen Klopp and the impact he's had on the Premier League this season. What he's done is he's restored faith for Liverpool fans, and also he's made it a bit more entertaining, hasn't he? Those press conferences, his whole charisma. We were relying on Mourinho. He's not delivered in that department. So I'm going to award that to Jurgen Klopp.
Okay. I've got a Manchester United player in here because Manchester United, they're not doing brilliantly. They're not setting the league alight, but they're not doing terribly either. But Chris Smalling, for just being a superb defender. And we're lacking class defenders at the moment. They are few and far between. All the best ones have disappeared. Gone are the days when we had Ferdinand and Vidic. But he's just been brilliant. Yes, he's had the odd injury. He hasn't played every single minute, but he's played most of them. This goes back towards the end of last season, up until this. You've got Koscielny as well. You could be arguing it's Koscielny, Smalling. But Christopher Smalling has conceded fewer goals than any other team when you put together minutes on the pitch compared to goals conceded and his defensive stats, which I won't reel out because it's probably very boring. But great to look ahead for the future of England because he is in his prime right now.
I will go to Mesut Ozil next because what a season he's having. The most assists in the Premier League so far this season, but also a player that's really come into his own in the last couple of seasons. Many people writing him off after that £40 million price tag, thinking that he wasn't up to it. Some Arsenal fans have said to me, actually, we knew all along, we were saying give him time. I always think they come out the woodwork now. But actually, he's been brilliant and you have to give it to him that without Mesut Ozil this season, and you'd say, maybe argue as well, Alexis Sanchez, Arsenal would not be in the position where they really are fighting for the title with Leicester City. Yeah. Random.
I know, it is random, isn't it? And what about a man that I've had in my fantasy football team since the beginning? Could have been Butland in goal, who's just brilliant and I love it. And I think will take over from Joe Hart. It's England's number one. But a bit of an unknown, Dimitri Payet. Lots of people bigging him up towards, the season, thinking, oh, a bit unknown. I thought, I'll pop him in. He was quite cheap. My God, has he got them their money back. He is just brilliant. I love watching him. And he's just, again, been another surprise, a bit like Graziano Pelle, who I had as being a flop a couple of seasons ago on the podcast. We were talking about flop stars and not just pop stars, but great stars and those who are going to go on to greatness. And I said, oh, Pelle, he's too good looking to be good. Well, Payet, I thought, no, I'm going to go for this one. And yeah, with his silky skills, he's just great.
Simon, as you've mentioned West Ham, I'm going to finish off with a 12th person. And instead of going Slaven Bilic, because I'm going to go for another manager, and I do think he deserves a mention. But you know what? I'm going to go for a manager who's not had much mentions about him at all, but it's his debut season in the Premier League. And Watford are up there. They're in the top. It is Chike Flores. Yeah. I mean, they're up there in the top half of the table. Who'd have thought that?
Chris Hughton at Brighton as well. Should have really given Brighton a mention. Undefeated so far this season, coming up last season. And just doing brilliant things. And
if we held a Sports Personality of the Year awards and it was just football, we'd be there all night, wouldn't we? We'd just recognise everybody.
Yeah, we'd have someone from every team. We'd have a manager from each league. We'd have the tea ladies, the groundsmen. Oh, it would be brilliant.
Well, you can let us know what you think about our choices and you can nominate your own. We just want 12 names. You can send them us on our Facebook page or at Offside Rule Pod on Twitter. Remember, offsideruepodcast.com as well. We have a few different articles going up there between now and Christmas. Finally, we've got jokes. I feel like we should have a drum roll. If you were to open and pull a Christmas cracker, by the way, do you have much success with those? Because I'm really rubbish.
I always lose and I'm desperate to get to the hat first. I'm the one that sits there all day in my Christmas hat and hope that it's either gold or silver and matches my outfit.
So someone's given me a tip that when you pull in the Christmas cracker, you have to try and hold on to the bit which makes the bang, and that's how you win the cracker.
All these years and we've just found out the tip.
I know, we've been so accommodating of people, letting them have all the goodies and jokes. Well, not with this one, because we've come up with a joke. In fact, you've come up with two of your own. I've just stolen mine. So Christmas cracker, it's time for some jokes. I feel like I've got to now laugh, put my laughing voice on.
They're so bad, they're good, okay. As I said. Right, quick fire, here we go. What happens to a footballer when his eyesight starts to fail? He becomes a referee.
Ba-bum-bum-boom. Boom, boom. Yes, of course he does. And they have to run a lot, though, referees. So as long as their legs don't go as well, they'll be okay. I got this one. Sam Allardyce. Sam Allardyce was caught doing 100 miles per hour in a 30 mile per hour zone. He'll do anything for 3 points.
I adapted that one and put, what did Mourinho do when he was caught doing 90 miles an hour in a 50 mile an hour zone? The answer was celebrate the 3 points. It is all about great minds. I've got another one on the theme of my first. What do you call an Englishman in the knockout stages of the World Cup? A referee.
A referee. Yeah, of course. I was just about to say I don't know, but yeah, I do. A pound coin was thrown onto the pitch at Ibrox. Police are trying to determine whether it was a missile or a takeover bid.
How do you keep cool at a football match, Lindsay?
I don't know. How do you keep cool?
Stand next to a fan.
Oh, of course. There's so many of them. We'd be spoilt for choice. As I was walking home from work last week, I noticed a Crystal Palace season ticket nailed to a tree. Now, I think you can just replace the team with whichever team you want to be cruel to. Mm-hmm. So this person obviously wanted to be cruel to Crystal Palace. So I'll just recap that. As I was walking home from work last week, I noticed a Crystal Palace season ticket nailed to a tree. I thought to myself, I'm having that because you can never have enough nails, can you?
As the tumbleweed just floats across.
I think that one's quite good. It's completely stolen.
Well, the thing is, Christmas crackers are a traditional question and answer.
Yeah.
Whereas you've just gone for a full-on statement.
I know.
Whereas I've kept it traditional, but I'm enjoying it. Have you heard about the new Arsenal bra? Because, of course, we always look at the club shops and what they have on offer at Christmas and all the comedy things. Yep. So have you heard about the new Arsenal bra? It has a lot of support, but no cups.
But they'd argue they've got FA Cups now.
Yeah, but that's
too outdated, that
yeah,
one.
It's they've not got many cups.
Okay, yeah.
It's double. Yeah. What do you call a girl who stands inside the goalpost and stops the ball rolling away?
A distraction.
A net. My granddad would bloody love that one.
Are we going to leave our Christmas jokes there?
No.
No.
What runs along the edge of the pitch but never moves?
I don't know.
The sideline.
Oh, yeah.
And as a Manchester United fan, how many Manchester City fans does it take to change a light bulb?
A lot.
None. They're quite happy living in the shadows.
Oh, leaving it on that note. Now, I know a lot of the Offside Rule pod team will be very happy with that one because we seem to be inundated with Manchester United fans. Thank you so much for this week because we're having a whirlwind week of Christmas parties. You've got to go and do a charity event now.
Yes, I do. I'm going to go and try on dresses for a company called Body Frock. It's great. I love them. And celebrate the Christmas season in a nice new fancy dress.
You have fun. I'm off to my Christmas party as well. We'll reconvene, have a bumper Christmas episode next week, and it will be three amigos returning rather than just a duo.
Yes! Oh, yes!
The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.